welcome to another episode of the London Theatre Podcast, a special episode, you might say, as we're not only launching a new show today called Road to Recovery, where we chat with London's theatres and figure out how we're going to get through this thing and get up and running again, but it's also in video form. So if you're listening to this right now over Spotify or iTunes or wherever you're listening, you can go over to YouTube right now, search for the London Theatre Podcast, and you'll see my face. You'll see what basic setup I actually do the podcasting with, and also my room studio. We've got some plants and a wardrobe, and then there's me still wearing a hat because I still haven't had a haircut in 4 months. But this is my face. This is what I look like when I'm podcasting. I'm sorry. But I thought it'd be nice. We're going to do some Zoom chats because, of course, everyone's chatting over Zoom. But the idea is every week we will chat with a different artistic director from one of London's theatres and just figure out the impact that it's had so far and what the plan is to come back. And it's going to be hopefully a positive, uplifting chat. And hopefully, as an artist, you know, I feel just as much in the dark as I did maybe a few months ago. I mean, obviously, we've had the government bailout. But is it really a bailout? Is it going to solve everyone's problems? How exactly are theatres going to be able to reopen? There's a lot of questions. There's a lot to unpack. And whether it's West End, off West End, or Fringe, I want to talk to you. I want to, you know, hear what you've got to say. How is your venue going to open again? What's the outreach been like? How have you been supported in this time? Have you had the support you need? Can we help get the word out for you? For more support, it's this. It's me in a room doing this. So if I can help, if this can help in any way, I hope it does. Also, you can write in if you've got questions that you'd particularly like to ask. If there's anyone watching, do chime in. This podcast has been going for 3 years. I've just done it as a side thing. I'm an actor and a playwright, but I love chatting to people about all things theatre. So go back and listen to some episodes if you haven't before. We cover a wide range of topics. We talk to a lot of people. I mean, we're talking over 100 episodes here. It's been fun. And now here we are in a new, very basic setup. So please bear with me. And this is hopefully going to go very well. We're kicking off things in off West End. We're going over to the Waterloo East Theatre, a lovely theatre that I've actually performed at before. 100-seat theatre under a railway arch in Waterloo, just next to the Old Vic and the Young Vic. It's a very rich hub of culture. And we're going to be speaking with Gerald, the artistic director of the Waterloo East Theatre, which has been running for 10 years. So hopefully we're going to speak to Gerald now and get some insight into how things have been for the Waterloo East Theatre. Thank you for listening and watching. And I think without further ado, let's jump into this new frontier of video podcasting. Yeah. Here we go.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Gerald. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
Ah, I'm doing well, thanks. It's good to see you.
You too. Can you hear me all right?
I hear you perfectly well. Yep, I've got my microphones set up. I'm sure we'll sound lovely to our listeners. This is a first for me after 3 years of podcasting. This is the first video podcast we're doing. So thank you. You're our guest of honor for the first ever London Theatre podcast via Zoom, live and recorded.
Thank you.
How are you?
How are you coping with it all?
I'm doing well. Yeah, it's. I mean, time doesn't really mean anything anymore, does it? It's strange to think. It feels like we've been doing this for about a year, but yeah, it's only been four months. Of course, right now we'd sort of be gearing up for Edinburgh. You know, you'd have your Edinburgh previews coming to you. You'd be getting that. Even if you weren't taking a show up this year, you'd still have people you knew going up. Maybe there'd be a bit of buzz in the air. I mean, it's strange to be missing that this year. How about yourself? How have you been?
It's been a strange time.
Glad you're saying that with a laugh, though. You know, so you've still got you're still saying that with a laugh. So you've still got your sense of humour, of course.
You have to. I mean, the biggest worry is if we will survive. I mean, that's the big question. You know.
Well, that's that's why I wanted to start this new sort of show for the podcast, this Road to Recovery, a sort of just to have a discussion with the the artistic directors of London to figure out and just kind of hash out how that might happen, how that will look. And obviously we've had the recent news of this 1.57 billion coming from the government, but I suppose the $1 million question, or the 1.57 billion pound question, is will that, have you heard anything about that? Will that help you at all? What is your current situation with Waterloo East?
Well, I mean, and also I think the other part of that question that you've been asked is who's going to get it, or
yes,
who's going to get a piece of it?
Mm.
Because, you know, in everything that's been going on, you know, the small independent theatres have just been sort of ignored, and I've been banging the drum as much as I can. I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but I got to ask the question on Question Time regarding...
Oh, right.
Regarding the... will the government bail us out or whatever? And that was, what, must be 3 months ago now.
Wow, I was going to say, you're on Question Time. This is kind of maybe a bit of a downgrade for you then. You're used to being on the primetime question shows.
No.
Thank you for...
I was actually, and again, that was only through the sort of banging the drum on social media, really.
Yeah.
That, you know, it just happened to be that that coming week they were having James Graham on, who, as you know, wrote the quiz and it was in London, it was based in London, so they touched on the cultural thing. So I could ask the question, and of course the government just went round in circles. But James Graham, I have to say, you know, put a really good case for us, for everybody, for all theatres, and not just London, but the whole of the country.
Of course.
But I do feel that it is the small ones, the small independents like myself, that are going to have a tough time coming back, you know.
Mm.
We rely on, you know, new producers coming in and producing stuff. We rely on hiring the venue. You know, we rely on all that. And, you know, the economics of us, as you well know, my venue's only, you know, 100 seats. But, you know, socially distanced, and the maximum I can get in there is 27.
Right, you know? Wow, okay. Yeah.
You know, think about it, you know what I mean? So unless I'm doing a one-person show, then it's economically not viable to do.
No.
But, I mean, the other big question on that is will the audiences come back?
Mm. Yeah.
That's the problem. Getting them to come back. And again, I know, going back to your original question about the bailout money, you know, who's going to get it? What are going to be the categories? You know, there's been this, you know, 56 million or whatever it was, the Arts Council relief or emergency relief fund, which was available to the ones outside the national portfolio. Of course, everybody applied. I didn't get it, you know, but there are some venues that didn't get it, and I'm going to be controversial here, and I think some venues that got it and deserve it, and I feel that some that did deserve it, and I'm not including myself in that, didn't get it. So it's a bit frustrating. So when you see something like that happen through the Arts Council, you wonder, well, how is the government's money going to be shared out?
Yeah.
And it's a tricky time, you know, it's a really tricky time.
Yeah.
As I said, our small venues aren't really going to find it hard to come back.
Yeah. Well, you've been around for 10 years, right? The Waterloo East Theatre?
Yeah, and that's the biggest sadness of all of this, apart from, you know, theatres and everything, is we were about to celebrate the 10th birthday in September.
Oh, man.
And I had this whole programmed out, ready for the big 10-year anniversary and all that, and of course that just all went to pot. I mean, there's no way we can do anything, you know. It's all going to have to be put back to us next year, if, you know, and open or whatever.
Yeah.
Next year. But it is, I mean, it is a struggle. It is. And I say, you know, there are some venues that have been around a lot longer than I have, but they still are going to struggle. It is all about the economics, as you know, Tom. Producing a show in a small venue, you have to be able to get a certain amount of capacity to make sure it actually covers or pays the bills of a venue. You know?
Yeah.
And as much as the bigger venues, you know, as we know today, they're doing the testing in the London Palladium for this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's great that he's championing all that, but as you know, we're not all the London Palladium.
No.
We can't afford the spray arches that they've imported from Korea. You know, yes, we can do as much as we can, and obviously, you know, as a theatre owner, I've been trying to work out how I can, and yes, I can make something work, but it's all about getting the audiences back, often the audiences come back, and making sure that as many audiences in there to make it pay for itself.
Yeah, because if you were to just operate at the capacity of 27, let's say, is that financially viable to you? Is that workable, or would you have to no?
Not at all. I mean, it would have to be a one-person show.
Right. I was going to ask you about future programming and that sort of thing, because obviously we've already heard of open-air theatres starting to reopen shortly. But there's still been no guidelines yet about a date for when indoor theatres can, right? And what's the latest on that?
Well, again, we've not been given any guidance at all. We've been told that we can start up operating from the 1st of August, but obviously it has to adhere to the government guidelines. The government guidelines sort of you couldn't do it in a small space like mine. I mean, yes, an open air is obviously because we're you're in the open air. So again, it's just frustrating that they've not given us any dates or any sort of something to work towards. And as I said, some of the government guidelines are so tricky to work out. You know, as I said, every venue is different. We're all different shapes and sizes. It's not just about, and again, it's not just about putting the performance on. Again, I joke about the one-person shows, but that's the easiest thing to do because, A, you can also socially distance them backstage because you have a bigger cast, but if that then you have to protect the cast as well. Mm-hmm. They have to be socially distanced. And, some venues don't have as much backstage space as others.
Huge backstage space, I remember.
Dressing rooms and stuff. Again, maximum I could do, I mean, to make it, if I wanted to be completely different, it's a three-person show because I've got three dressing rooms, I can isolate them in each dressing room.
Yep.
And they would have to come on stage at certain points. Then they don't cross each other.
I
never touch each other on stage, you know, which is fine.
But
I have also been looking at, obviously, what I can do to try and, not knowing how long this is going on for, and I've been looking at the possibilities of looking for a space and maybe, taking something outside somewhere, to try and keep the name Water Lee Space around there. But look, and I've actually been looking at spaces around the area to see whether we can do something distance open air, because I think people would be more comfortable sitting in a chair outside.
Yes.
And they will be sitting, And you go back, because I know that the Open Air Theatre, Regent's Park, because, is opening up. And again, they've been very clever in their programming of bringing the show back that they've done before. And also lining up a whole host of big comedians, which is the best way to do it. But, they've also, reduced the capacity from, I think it's something like 1,300, it used to be to like 300.
Wow.
It's quite a big amount,
It's going to be hard to recapture that kind of electric atmosphere that, full sold-out crowd has, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're a performer, I was a performer. Looking out at an auditorium where you see, scattered empty patches doesn't do much for you, even though it's worth it.
We've been there. That was like that for me before the pandemic. I mean, we've all had rough days like that. It's humbling, is what it is.
Going back to it is, I keep repeating myself, but it's all about getting the audiences back. It's getting their confidence. It's not just bringing them into one space, but getting them to travel there as well.
Yes, of course.
I mean, that is the other thing, this is not. And I admire all these venues that are trying to do these outdoor spaces elsewhere, And I just hope that it can make it work, Because in the end, we've got to earn a living somehow.
Yeah. No. I mean,
I've got kids to pay for.
Well, is that? I wanted to ask you about the theatre is under a railway arch. Are you still being charged the full rent every month? Like, how is it?
No, luckily enough, there has been an agreement with our new landlords, because it's now the Arch and Co, it used to be Network Rail. I mean, there has been an agreement with us to being us about, you know, they're taking each month, like, we're looking at different percentages of how we can defer the rent and things like that. So the pressure of that has been slightly taken off me, that I'm not having to think, I've got to pay that bill at the end of the month, you know.
Okay,
I mean?
Well, that's some good news, yeah.
Yeah, that's something, because in the end, that's the biggest, my biggest concern, biggest worry is obviously the rent. But obviously, you know, I'm not alone. We're all in this situation together, whatever business we're in. And I mean, and the one thing Arch & Co did say to me is the one thing we don't want is the arches at the end of all this. So as long as we can try and support you as much as we can.
Oh, that's lovely.
I mean, which is so in the end, so, you know, I feel a little bit more relaxed about that. But it still doesn't, but my frustration of wanting, you know, and it's weird because I go in about once every 2 weeks or something to check on the building. And it's a really weird scenario because we were just going back to when the closure happened. We were in the middle of tech. We were about to open the next day with a run of a show. Obviously, we had that announcement on the Monday at 5 o'clock from Boris saying, you know, we thought. And it's weird because everything's been left as it was.
Really? Like the dressing rooms and the...
Literally, everything's been left. The costumes still... So you walk in, even the bottle of water on the stage where somebody was drinking it. You walk in, you just go, it's like a ghost town. It's like, oh, the water show you once.
How surreal.
Really is quite surreal, you know, going back. But I obviously have to go in and check everything. But it is walking back in and thinking, has it really been that long since something's been on here? You know, it's surreal. It's a real. Weird time, you know, weird time. And also the area around Waterloo, you know, it's just dead.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Yeah, everyone's working from home now. No one's going to their offices anymore. It's strange, isn't it?
I think that's going to be a big thing as well, isn't it? A lot more businesses are going to think, well, all the money I've saved on rent or
blow
the building out to rent work at home, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's changed. It has changed so much. I feel like we'll be feeling the impacts of this for quite a while to come, but hopefully... through all of that, we can put some theatre on again.
I really hope so.
Well, for any, because I was lucky enough to be able to take my one person show to Waterloo East last year, and for anyone listening who's maybe thinking of bringing their one hander or two hander, you know, to you, for example, what sort of work are you looking to, or is it just anything will do, or is there a particular, I don't know, vibe or theme you're going for as artistic director? Do you want any particular kind of show when you
well,
bounce back?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes and no, really, because what I like to do is try and champion new work and allow people to have a platform to put on stuff. So I mean, I you know, obviously it's always good to have something which has had a bit of steam behind it, because that helps. You know, if it's been to a festival or it's going to a festival or something like that. But I mean, I'm very keen on the say, especially with, I know how difficult it is for one person, two person shows to, you know, because it's hard to obviously to get an audience as well, you know.
Yeah.
But I do feel everybody should be allowed to, you know, have a platform for their show, and try and new stuff is always very exciting for me. You know, like when your show came, I didn't really know what it was, but
neither did I, to be fair.
And the thing is, you have to admire anybody. I say this because I produced a very successful one-man show for many, many years all over the world, and I know how hard it is to hold an audience. You're not no disrespect, you're not a comedian. You're actually telling a story. To hold somebody, you know, an audience for at least for an hour or even more, it's quite a talent, as far as I'm concerned, because I know that even me as an expert, I wouldn't want to do it. I would want to try and keep an audience attention for an hour or so, and that's hard, and that's good, and that comes from the writing, and I think that's, you know, it's always, people always like a good story, and if you can tell it well, and that's what plays all about. That's what, you know, one person shows are all about, you know.
Yeah.
But I love to hear a new story. You know, and it has been quite interesting that some of the stuff online has been quite revealing as well, you know, and it'd be interesting to see how that translates if somebody was to do it on stage. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, I've seen a lot of these monologues being done on Zoom and different platforms. And you think, they're great, you know, would that stand up, you know, in a real theatre, in a live theatre. Because also the other thing about all this is that all this digital content that's been going on you know, is that going to affect audiences?
Yeah.
Coming to the theatre, you know, I mean, for me, it you know, there's nothing like live theatre. So there's, no filming of anything is ever going to dissuade me. And I've seen quite a lot over this time, you know, as I'm sure we all have. You just think, it's not the same.
It's not.
It's
no.
not the same. And,
it's kind of like podcasting over video, Gerald. I'd rather be face to face with a cup of tea than doing
so
on Zoom. There is something missing when that electricity, like we say. And the shows. Just, how far had you? Sorry, go, carry on. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, and it's also about and then it's really frustrating because the biggest thing is about audiences is that it's also having those people in a venue and just they're all enjoying it at the same time. Mm. And that buzz you get and all that sort of stuff, you know what I mean? From people coming to see the shows and leaving and their thoughts, and it's just a whole buzz. I think that's the other big thing I miss. You know? That's why I'm in this industry, I guess.
Yeah. And in terms of like how far the shows that had to be cancelled, obviously, because of the lockdown. How far had you programmed into the year before things all got halted?
Yeah, I was actually programmed right up until the end of June.
Right, okay.
So you know, from the March the 15th, I think, is when we actually shut the doors, right through to the end of June, I was completely fully booked.
Yikes.
But that was an even bigger, you know, because all of a sudden that just all, in one day, just all went. You know what I mean?
God.
We were very, you know, there's a lot of those shows that still want to come and are holding out, which is great, because that means, especially the play that was about to open, because they're ready to come straight back in as soon as we can get the green light.
Well, they've got to come back first to pick up their water bottle, you know.
Exactly. So, you know, there is some hope, you know, there will be some program, some stuff that I will have to try and open with. But again, back to what, I mean, the audience is coming. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit of a shock, because I would have then gone into it in July. As you were talking about, I had a lot of people interested in doing Edinburgh previews, and all that sort of stuff in July. So I was, I was looking at a good 5 months of programme, which was ready to go, and just like that gone in one night, you know. And very frustrating. But I was also, this I was about to say, was that, you know, we offered, obviously, there was a lot of advanced bookings in all these shows as well, and we did offer a full refund or if they'd like to donate. And I was very surprised that almost 70% of people just said money.
They donated?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's,
which was just, I was, really taken aback. Keep it. And if the show happens again, and what I did say to those people that did donate, if the show comes back again, we'll offer you a comp.
That's really nice. Yeah, that's
But it was just their generosity was amazing. I was just thinking, Ray, because it just because I think it's also nice. I know that they will probably all come back. I think that was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're waiting in the wings, metaphorically.
Well,
that's it. Like, the theatre community is such a, I feel, a supportive group anyway. But given everything that we've we now know what we're missing, and we now know, I think, on a higher level what this means to us. You know, whether we're audience or we're on stage or we're behind the scenes or we're running the show. You know, I think we'll come back to this with a even bigger appetite, hopefully, for seeing stuff. So. Whilst there is that, I think that fear factor to will audiences come back? I'm quite optimistic that they will, just because we're all missing it, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm optimistic about it as well, because as you've just said, they're all missing it. They want to come back, and I think it's already proved that there are these pop-ups that are happening, and the Regent's Park advance bookings is very good, and it's all that you know there is a. There is a passion still there, and people want to see live theatre. I mean, one thing COVID is not going to do, and it's not going to stop people going, it's not going to put people off wanting to see live theatre. As much as it will try. But it is a worry. We still don't know, and I think that's the challenge of this whole period, is that, you know, we can all be very creative in our own environments, but we do need to get out there and pass this creativity back on to the audiences again.
Yeah.
And just wish we knew when we could happen. And I do feel, and I think, you know, the one thing I feel sorry for as well is all the big regional theatres.
Yes.
You know, I mean, because we all know that the pantomime is a big thing for them, and that does finance a lot of those theatres for a long time. You know?
Mm.
And if that doesn't happen this year for them, then, you know, who knows?
I just saw an article on The Stage actually pop up, and it was like they've got 2 weeks to save Panto or something. It's the government's got to step
in. Yeah, I think it's Michael Harrison and Kudos or whatever. They said they've given the deadline of they need to know by the August 4th, I think it is, before they have to make a decision one way or the other, you know.
Yikes.
Because of planning time. That's just...
Yeah.
It will be big.
I know London gets more attention, and I mean, this is the London Theatre Podcast, so I'm just as guilty on that front. I've not called it the Regional Theatre Podcast, but I just feel like that might be too much work for one person. Maybe if I get a team together, we can go around and interview regional theatres. But just with London theatres, since this has happened, have you been in communication with many other artistic directors or people in different theatres to sort of see how they're... Has there been quite an inclusive kind of chat discussion for off West End venues?
Yeah, there has, because obviously we're part of the Society of Independent Theatres, which is about 50 theatres, and we've had Zoom stuff, and we've had constant email rounds of finding what's going on. Our biggest frustration, again, is that we're being left out.
Mm.
You know, all these panels of experts or whatever, but nobody's approached a small venue to be part of that, you know, discussion, which is very, very frustrating, you know. But we have, you know, and in the end, as I said, we need to come together because we are all in the same boat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're all small independent businesses that don't have, you know, any sort of funding of arts council. So we have to try and also try and work out that we can support each other when we start to reopen, you know, because, you know, every audience, you know, will be different in each venue, but I mean, still there, and we do have to try and work together to try and come through this all together.
Mm.
As the big venues are.
Yes, well.
Small venues need to as well.
Well, that's maybe one positive, yeah, that will come out of this, that everyone's a bit closer and more supportive, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because as I say, we're all different, but we're all in the same business.
Yeah. I can only imagine those Zoom conference calls with 50 artistic directors all chatting with each other. How does that even work? That must be absolute chaos. Do you have to pass like a... Does that someone have to hold like the talking stick?
Well, I think it was a bit like that, yeah. Well, we're given so many minutes to say what we need to say.
Ah.
We're split up into different groups.
I should have come in on that and recorded it. Then I would have just taken care of all of my show within one Zoom session. But no, this is better, the intimate one-on-one with you, Gerald. Yeah, it's been sorry, carry on, you were going to say something.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you know, you're doing the podcast now, but I also know that you have your own shows that's about to happen and stuff like that, so I'm going to throw the question back to you.
Oh, sure.
How are your plans being?
Yeah, my plans well and truly scuppered. We were in the process of auditioning for my new play when the lockdown came in. It was a four-hander going to the Lion and Unicorn that the artistic director there, David, had was very interested in the script and had been very supportive and still is. But yeah, there's kind of what you've been saying, the social distancing aspect, the show just wouldn't be able to be one of the first things bouncing back. I've started writing some other smaller scale stuff that would be easy to just kind of throw on, but I wanted to, so this new play I was writing, it would have been, you know, there would have been a proper set, and I was going to do it all, you know, off my own back and pay everyone properly and everything. And financially right now, that's just something that I couldn't commit to. So I'm getting in the habit of saying nothing is cancelled. It's just postponed. Nothing is. 2021 is going to be a great year for all of us, I think. It's going to be, well, 600 weddings to go to, first of all.
Yes.
And then on with the theatre.
Yeah. It's going to be. I think Edinburgh's going to be quite something next year.
Oh God, can you imagine? It's the buzz of next year. Providing this is all, you know, it all gets sorted out, and I'm staying on the right side of that optimism. It's just going to be, yeah, it's going to be something special. All fringe festivals and whatnot, because obviously,
yeah, all festivals. I mean, yeah, exactly. They're all going to be, you're going to be, you know, all the subscribed shows that want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's why your theatre is so important, because it's one of those launch pad theatres, you know, that then can get you, you know, to Edinburgh or Brighton, or you come from Edinburgh and then next year you're on in London, you know, at a venue like such as Waterloo East. You know, it's a launch pad, a springboard, or a trampoline, and it's so vital. And I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us and making us feel a little bit better about this whole thing.
No, it's fine. I mean, I'm quite happy to talk about it. You know, we've got to be optimistic, and I'm optimistic. It's all going to come back. You know, it's going to take time, which we have to. And I think, you know, I can be very impatient, but at the time I'm so patient about stuff. But it's just planning stuff. You know, thinking, well, I could do that. We could program that. You know. Socially distancing in the auditorium, it's all these sort of things I do have to think about, you know. But, you know, it'd be great to get the green light to say, right, that's what we're working for now.
Yeah.
Those shows can go on sale. Let's see what we can do, you know, take every step as we can, you know.
Mm.
And hopefully the 1.5 billion that the Oliver Dowden has promised us, so we'll actually, some of it might just slip into our letterbox of Waterloo.
Oh, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah, check your post. Yeah, and there is a donate button on your website, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah,
so our listeners and viewers now can, there'll be a link in the description where you can, if you've enjoyed this chat and you want to support Gerald and Waterloo East, you can follow that link and click the donate button and give the price of a ticket or something. And hope, well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about being supportive.
Yeah.
Gerald, before we sign off, I want to do a thing where our guest just gives us a little message of hope for the, it can just be a general message of hope, or it can be more about like the arts in general. Just something to uplift us during these times. What have you got for us? What words of wisdom?
Well, there's very on our Twitter feed, we've got something which is one of the things, and one of the things which is quite a tradition in theatre is that you leave the light on.
Mm.
To say that we will be back, and we've left our light on the Waterloo East Theatre, and we will be back, and I'm sure all those theatres that have left lights on will be back. It may take some time, but we will be back.
They will be back. That's beautiful. I think that's a beautiful place to leave it as well. Gerald, thank you so much for talking with us today. You are the first episode of Road to Recovery, a new podcast series that is all about talking about how we all come back from this. And as Gerald says, the light is still on. Gerald, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem at all.
I mean, after your stint on Question Time, you're a pro at this now. and we'll hopefully, well, we'll definitely catch up with you soon.
Yeah, great. Okay, look after yourself, Tom.
All right, thanks, great. Gerald.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the London Theatre Podcast. All previous episodes are available on Spotify, iTunes and SoundCloud. You can go to our website, thelondontheatrepodcast.com, and you can email us, thelondontheatrepodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at L Theatre Podcast, that's L for London. And yeah, share the podcast. Leave a review, why not? You can also find more information on the shows, artists, and topics discussed in the podcast description if you're looking for some handy links. But thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Take care.